Hi, my name is Rob, and this is my weekly podcast. Each week, I sit down with a different guest, and we talk about things that you have been up to in the fandom. Are we going to talk about everything? Of course not. It's only an hour. Will we communicate effectively? It's a wheel of time. Probably not. But will we have fun? Most definitely. Welcome to Malkia's Wrap-Up. Hello, welcome back to Malkia's Wrap-Up. We took a quick week off because I was a busy chap. But we are back. We are chilling. It is Sunday afternoon. I think technically, no, it might be still Sunday evening for me, but it feels like Sunday afternoon. But we are chilling. And today I am joined by my good friend, Master of the Deck, Kayla. How are you doing?
What's up? I'm good. It is definitely afternoon for me. Only barely afternoon.
Mm-hmm. And I believe when I invited you on, you were like, woohoo, day drinking. So is that a thing?
Yes, it is. I'm drinking some New Glarus because if I'm in Wisconsin, I'm nothing if not fulfilling a stereotype. Today I'm doing the Nut Brown Ales called Fat Squirrel.
That is an appropriate name for a brown ale, Fat Nut Squirrel. That's
New Glarus does excellent names for their beers. I mean, like, they have, like, the standard ones, you know, the Spotted Cow and Two Women and stuff that you can get, like, in any grocery store, gas station, whatever in the state. But their seasonal brews are always fun. They have a stout that they put out during the winter. It's called Road Slush.
Road Slush.
Yes. Very, wow. Very descriptive name. It's actually really good, but yeah, Road Slush.
Road Slush is not something you would normally think is really good, but no. It's being recommended here, folks.
It's an appropriate color.
Yeah, it is appropriate for that time of year. It snows a bit in Wisconsin, so, you know, it's matching. Hopefully people don't get put off by the name. Hopefully they realize it's meant to be just a fun name for a beer, as opposed to, does that taste like Road Slush? Because I ain't drinking it if it does.
There are the weirdest, like, beer names, honestly. Like, Road Slush doesn't even come close to it.
Tell us some of the weirdest ones. Let's go for it.
Moose Drool.
Moose Drool. Is that a Canadian beer?
I honestly don't know. It's the one that's coming to mind. But especially, like, craft brews just get really weird. I'm trying to remember the name of this this brewery. All their beers just have very strange names. But that's the one that came to mind.
This is not the brewery that where you suggested a flavor for a craft beer and then they made it?
No. They can do interesting names. They don't necessarily go with beer names. Let's see. I mean, if you just Google, like, funny beer names, I mean, like, Baby Got Bach, that kind of thing. So
nice.
So funny. But yeah, beer labels and beer names are absolutely, it feels like a competition sometimes with, like, how weird, not even just with the flavors. It's like, here's a normal ass beer, but it's got a fucked up name and a weird label.
That's kind of perfect. I love that. So we've established already that we liked bizarre named beers.
There you go.
And that you obviously, because you're on the podcast, you're a fan of Wheel of Time.
Absolutely.
So, why don't we, I feel like I've never actually asked you this question, Kayla. So please tell us how you found the Wheel of Time, or as the lights work, like to describe it, your origin story.
I had recently gotten into audiobooks because I had a summer job at my alma mater, which was about a 3.5-4 hour drive away. And at the time, I had been listening to a lot of podfic, which is fan recorded fan fiction. But then the audiofic archive, like, had a server crash, and, like, all of the podfic was just, like, gone. And you'd have to, like, dig through, like, old fan archives and stuff to find it. And it was just like, ugh. So my mom, who had listened to audiobooks for years prior to this, like, I knew that she had listened to audiobooks, and I was like, okay, well, I mean, that's basically this is the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I had started listening to the Redwall books.
Okay.
Because they were recorded by, you know, the late author himself. And this was in a, like, right around 2017. So I listened to some audiobooks, and then, like, I just never canceled the subscription, even though it was only a summer job. And then I accumulated like 6 credits or something. This was the audiobooks.com app. And I got a notification that said, hey, your credits are expiring soon. And at that point, I had tried listening to the Game of Thrones books, which I did finish the ones that were available. Not my favorite. Wasn't a big fan of the narrator there. Sorry, Roy Dotrice. And I listened to my Redwall books. And then I was like, well, I don't know what else to listen to. And I'm not going to like get recommendations from my mom, because bless her, but she listens to like a bunch of Tom Clancy and John Grisham and stuff.
Right.
No offense to that, but it's not my thing.
That's fine.
And so I threw it out on Facebook at the time, like, hey, I need some audiobooks to listen to. I don't know. What are your recommendations? And I think I had maybe 3 different people recommend that I listen to The Eye of the World. And
wow.
the majority ruled at that point. I was like, okay, I'll listen to The Eye of the World. So I grabbed it. It's like January. Maybe it's January 2017. I honestly don't remember if it was 2017 or 2018 at that point. So I got The Eye of the World and I started listening to it. I think I maybe listened to a couple hours of it, and then I got distracted because I found another podfic and I listened to that for like a month. And so Wheel of Time was sitting there for a month, and then I finally finished it. And once I got like into The Eye of the World, it's maybe about like mid-February. I listened to the next one and I was done with the series by the end of March.
Wow.
Yeah. I listened to it on audio, regular speed. I don't speed up my audiobooks. And
neither do I. So I'm glad to hear that, because I keep hearing a lot of that. Oh, I listen to 1.5 or 1.25.
No,
I'm like,
I can't do it. No. 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 It's the way the narrator recorded it. And so it was about a month and a half. I listened to all of the books, including New Spring, and I did the calculations because I feel like I didn't sleep very much during that time. And it's about,
it sounds like it's right
about 18 days worth of audio. We're in the ballpark of about 455 to 460 hours of Wheel of Time audio. I'm sure someone has the exact number out there, but yeah. And that's when I listened to it.
And 18 days of audio out of what, 45 days?
Yeah, I was about 50% of the time during that's like from like mid-February to end of March 2017, 18, whatever year it was. I think it was 2018, because I went to JordanCon 2019 the following. That was my first JordanCon. So yeah, so 2018 was spent listening to The Wheel of Time. I would be listening to it in my car when I was traveling from my morning school to my afternoon school. And I would like sit there in my car listening to it until I had like 5 minutes to get out of my car and my next class was starting.
That is dedication.
It was just constant. I binged the hell out of it. And then I got my sister to do it. And so because my sister was also listening to it, she apparently had read through the first 5 books at some point, or maybe the first 4. Claims that she recommended it to me before anyone else did, but I have no memory of this, so I feel like that's a lie. And so then she finally was listening to it, and so I thought, well, shit, I'll just listen to it again.
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah, right around, like, end of May, June of that same year, I listened to it for the second time.
Equally as fast, or did you take a little easier that time?
I took a little bit more time with it because my sister and I were sharing the audiobooks account, and so like we couldn't listen it simultaneously.
Yes.
Or like we would, so I'd have to wait for her to finish a book and then I would go to the next one.
Yes. Unlike Netflix, or at least until recently it feels, you can't share your audiobooks like that, can you?
No. I think with Audible, it's a little bit easier, at least if you're not listening to the exact same book.
Right.
I know that also Amazon has the thing where it's like Amazon Household, which is how like my brother and I are able to like share the same Prime Video account, that kind of thing. But we're on the same internet, so... It's not quite the same.
This is true. Yeah. Wow, I did not know that you, obviously I knew you listened to audiobooks. That's your jam. But I had no idea you binge listened.
Yeah, like I just hooked up the IV days. And sat there.
Yeah. That's not even during COVID where we're all just locked down and sitting at home. That's genuinely like you have a life, you're working.
That wasn't even during a vacation time. Like spring break was after I finished the book. So I was just like, I would stay up late. I would listen when I was in the car, when I was in the shower. I play, when I listen to audiobooks and I'm not really doing anything else, I'll play like puzzle games on my iPad. Mm-hmm. And I, my preferred puzzle game is called Flow Free. It's little, you like connect two color dots.
The water pipes and stuff.
Yeah. And you have to fill up the whole page with it. I've played thousands of levels of that. Thousands. And then like the Flow Free hexes, same thing. Flow Free like warps, same thing. You count them up, like each little set, all the way through, like the largest ones has got almost 1,000 levels in it, and I've played all of them. So probably at this point, tens of thousands of Flow Frees and like match three games. Like I would run out of like free like things or lives in one thing, and I'd open another one. It's just like I sometimes have sense memories now of what I was listening to when I play a particular game. Like I'll open it up again and be like, oh, I was playing this game when I was listening to the Lycanius trilogy, or like, oh, I was making like pasta with marinara sauce while I was listening to, you know, the First Law trilogy when I was playing this game. It's very weird.
That is incredible. That is, I'm kind of lost for words at that. Not only that you played that many games, but now you have like a sense memory to go with those games. That's quite a thing. I don't think I've come across anybody who can say, oh yeah, when I play this game, it makes me think of listening to this book at this particular moment and I was doing this thing. That's pretty wild.
It's very weird how sometimes those memories become manufactured. Like I have like a vivid image of myself in my kitchen listening to the second Lycanius book while I was like making like rotini pasta with like, you know, meatless meatballs. And I think I was probably playing the game Two Dots on my iPad.
Brilliant. So why do you listen to audiobooks instead of reading books, even digitally, I suppose?
Because I don't have to stop reading.
Are you a very busy person?
I think it's mostly that I really like to read. And then if I'm listening to an audiobook, it means that I don't have to stop if I am like taking a shower or if I'm doing my dishes or my laundry or if I'm driving to work or even if I'm like going to sleep. Sleep timers are wonderful.
They are wonderful. In fact, I think my last listen through for Wheel of Time on Audible was done using sleep timers.
I will say that the audiobook apps could take a lesson from some of the free audiobook things out there, like Libby, the one where you can listen to audiobooks from your library, has a wonderful like system for their sleep timer. Like they've got 5-minute increments. But my favorite is actually the one that I used for listening to Podfic. It's called Smart Audiobook Player. And the reason that I love it is that it has a 5-minute increment sleep timer, but it's also motion sensitive. So if you're listening to something on your phone and you have a sleep timer on and it starts to fade out and you're like, no, I'm still listening, I want 5 more minutes. You can just shake your phone, give it a little shimmy, and it'll reset the timer. So that's always, that was my, honestly, it took me a while to figure out that that's what was happening. Because I didn't realize I had a sleep timer on it my early days of listening. And when you shake it so that the sleep timer resets, it makes a little ding sound so you know that you've reset it. Right. And that would happen on my phone. And I was like, what the fuck? Why does it keep doing that? And then I realized. That's ingenious.
That is indeed. There's got to be someone out there, surely, who's trying to work on software that links. Because so many of you have these like smart watches, or you can put your phone on the bed and it recognizes your sleep patterns and things like that. There must be a sleep timer app out there that will connect to Audible or any sort of Audible book program. So it will actually fade out as it recognizes you've actually dropped below the conscious level of listening.
That is so cool. like your heart rate. Yeah. Like it recognizes the changes in your heart rate and your breathing patterns. I'm sure at some point, like it probably exists out there. You get like your, the one that recognizes your actual fucking brainwaves. Like a smart pillow. Just scanning your head constantly.
Exactly. This idiot has now fallen asleep listening to this book. I can switch off finally. But all right, so this is, I love this because so many people are like, oh, I read and I have 1,000 books. Bookshelf is a thing, you know, break your bookshelves and stuff. So you just have thousands of Audible books, which is really, really cool. And you can take them anywhere with you. Do you listen back to many of them or do you like, are you a listen once and then I'm done except for some particular books?
I love rereading. Depending on the book, I like to reread. It's one of the reasons that I really like fan fiction. I don't want to let go of characters that I enjoy once I've got them. Mm-hmm. And so there are some books that have a higher reread value than others. And I feel like The Wheel of Time is one of them because it's so long.
Yes.
Longer series have more reread value because I will forget what happens. it's like the first time all over again. And so the books that I reread, I'll try to give myself a couple of years in between, depending on, you know, how much I retained from it the first time around. Mm-hmm. So like Wheel of Time, I listened to it so fast and like so thoroughly. I wanted to know there were questions I wanted to have answered. And the second time I was able to take a little more time.
Right.
So that one I probably reread maybe once a year, maybe once every other year. Stormlight Archive, I've reread that a couple of times. Malazan, that's a very high reread value for that because I will forget not just like, oh, you know, there was this, you know, this particular plot point, I forgot about that. No, there'll be whole big mysterious reveals that were like very significant. I'll be like, I don't remember what happened. Let's find out.
That's great.
Because there's just so much. And I'd be like, wow, this is a mystery. I've read this book 2 times and I don't remember what the answer to the question is.
I've had that physically with books sometimes myself, so I can appreciate that. But I find it harder with an Audible book than a physical book to retain the details. So I can only imagine if you only listen to Audible books, then you probably pick it up. You pick up more detail than an average listener who doesn't always listen to the books audibly as opposed to read them physically.
I think it depends. Part of what I enjoy about the audiobook experience is the experience of having something read to you. There's a drama aspect to it, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of like radio play type thing where I'm getting a lot of enjoyment out of what's happening in the moment. And especially if the thing that I love about it, I don't have to stop reading for something like driving or showering or whatever, means that if I zone out for a second or if there's something I didn't quite understand that just happened, I just have to be like, you know what? It'll come out in the wash. I'll figure it out later, or like that detail is just gone and it'll have to not be that consequential, which is the same thing that would happen if, you know, someone was telling you a story, that sort of thing. Sometimes I'm able to like skip back, but if I'm in the shower and my phone's too far away, you're like, well, we'll come back to it.
Yeah. We'll come back to that. This is true. Yeah.
Yeah. And that can be, it can be helpful and detrimental at the same time. For Malazan, I found it helpful because there's a lot in that book series to kind of befuddle one's understanding. And because I wasn't able to like stop and be like, wait, what the fuck? It pushed me forward in the story. And you know, it did come out in the wash mostly. Sometime I would say I probably understand about as much as the average person reading in like print format. I guess it really depends on who you are. But as far as rereading goes, I mean, I reread stuff all the time. I'm very much a sword and sorcery fantasy person. I've mm-hmm. tried to expand a little bit. I try to do a little bit, maybe a little bit of sci-fi flavored stuff here, some urban fantasy stuff. But oftentimes when I go out of my comfort zone and be like, wow, this, I hate this. Please send me back.
Where's the swords? Where's the dragons?
It's like, there's no magic. How is this interesting to anybody? Like, this is dumb. God, I tried to listen to a book not that long ago. The weird thing was that it was written by an author who had just finished a book that I really enjoyed. And so I thought, oh, surely I'll enjoy this author's other work. Absolutely. And the answer to that question was no, not at all. It was some weird, like, modern urban fantasy thing. It was just like delving too much into the thought experiment of like, what if your main characters are like profoundly unlikable? You know, right. And it's like, we don't really need to go all Catcher in the Rye for this thing. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Is this really necessary?
So you mentioned being told stories by people narrating these books. And I can appreciate that because the thing I love about audible books for me when I listen is if I'm listening back to a story I've read before, I don't have to pay attention. Because like rewatching a TV show or a movie you've seen a million times, or, you know, seen a couple of times, whatever, you know what's happening and you can just pick back up where you are and be like, oh, I know what that is. I know where I am again. But I've found something else that's very helpful. And that is that listening to an audible book makes it easier for me to read a book I'm not enjoying. I feel like I need to give that context as well. I struggle with the Stormlight Archive. I find it a difficult read. But Michael and Kate, because they narrate all of Brandon's books, thanks to them, I am, I don't know, like 40 hours into Oathbringer, and I might actually make it to Words of Radiance.
That's a fair assessment.
No. What's the fifth? Is it Words of Radiance the fifth book?
Words of Radiance is the second book. So that's the first second one book, is Way of Kings. Mm-hmm. Way of Kings is the first one. Words of Radiance is the second. And then Oathbringer is the third one, with Rhythm of War being the fourth.
That's it.
I've gotten that totally fucking wrong.
Maybe I've definitely Rhythm. I remember ROW is a thing. So yeah, Rhythm of War. Okay. So I might actually make it to that book. You've mentioned obviously the narrator can make a difference. Have you ever been put off by a book completely because of the narrator?
Absolutely. First, I will agree with you about Stormlight. I actually don't think I found myself skipping through entire sections of it on a reread because I'm like, I don't need this. Like, I've been here. Yeah. Just where's the part where Kaladin is suffering and like, you know, like going through trauma. Like, please just give me back to the good shit. But I mentioned earlier Game of Thrones. I will never re-listen to those audiobooks. Which is a nice reason that sometimes you can find different editions of audiobooks. It's not necessarily legal to acquire them because of geo-blocking. But the Game of Thrones audiobooks that exist are narrated by the late Roy Dotrice, who is a Shakespearean actor. Wow. I could not stand the way that he narrated women. Like, he would just do voices for characters that were just, it was a cheese grater to my eardrums. I think it's part of the reason I maybe have a little bit of I'm a little bit meh towards the series in general. I might have liked it more if I liked the narrator more. The narrator for Brent Week's Night Angel trilogy, horrible. Mm-hmm. Oh. Bad. I'm glad that I listened to his Lightbringer series first, but Night Angel, number one, it was his first trilogy, so it's a little rough around the edges as far as it is. There's some parts of it that are very ridiculous. And then having a bad narrator on top of it was just like, do you know, there's a YouTube series, it's called Animals of the World, I think, or something. And it's a guy who comes, he does ridiculous sort of like Animal Planet, like David Attenborough style voiceovers of animal information, except that it's, you know, it's supposed to be funny. It's dumb. Like, there's the sea pig he talks about, or the sea cucumber. He reminded me of that guy. And I'm like, I can't, this just, no.
That's not appealing.
No. So yes, sometimes I will, if I don't know a narrator, I'll do like the little sample preview on it. And it's unfortunate because maybe an otherwise good sounding book would be like, I can't do this. Then I hate the narrator. It's just not going to work for me.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so who's your favorite narrator?
Well, I have two answers to this because I have my favorite audiobooks I've ever listened to, and then I have my favorite narrator. I would say my favorite narrator is probably, I can't even remember his name right now. I would say Simon Vance. And okay. Not because he's necessarily like this, you know, profoundly, you know, amazing at what he does, but that he is, he's consistent. He's very good at what he does. And he narrates a lot of fantasy books. So most of the time, like,
You've had a lot of exposure.
Right. Simon Vance is, he hosts the Oddies, which are like, you know, voiceover narration rewards. Like, he's somewhat notorious for being like a prolific narrator. He narrates Brent Week's Lightbringer stuff. I've gotten him to like reply to my tweets a couple of times. You know, it's all good.
Nice.
So Simon Vance, probably my favorite narrator. He's very reliable, you know. But my favorite audiobook experience I've ever had is The Dresden Files, which are narrated by James Marsters. Now, for anyone who's like, that name sounds familiar, James Marsters played Spike in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, he has a great voice.
He just does such a good, they're just so wonderful to listen to. You know, so the Dresden Files are written from the first person perspective. So you're in Harry Dresden's head the whole time you're reading these books. So right. Having that excellent, like, in your head voice over for what's going on just is so essential to the nature of the story itself. And James mm-hmm. Marsters, you know, the reason I don't necessarily say he's my favorite narrator is because he hasn't really done much other audiobook work. I think he right. narrated like a Cassandra Clare book, but I really don't like Cassandra Clare's books. So I tried it and I was like, this isn't worth it. Sorry. I tried to listen to like the Magnus something or whatever. There's that's a podcast that I did enjoy, but, they made like a TV show out of her books. It's got a gay wizard named Magnus. I think that's why I was remembering it.
I'm not familiar with that.
Anyway, point being, James Marsters narrating The Dresden Files. Those are my favorite audiobooks. They're just right. like amazing. Like, sorry to anyone I didn't say Michael Kramer and Kate Redding. They're also very good and reliable. But they're, in terms of like the fantasy stuff that you can find, there's a little bit less right. from them. And, but there are tons of other just like good ones. Recently I've like Joe Jameson's a good narrator. There is, Robin, she narrates the Broken Earth trilogy, Robin Miles. There we go. Robin Miles. Excellent narrator. Stephen Pacey narrates the first Law books. Wonderful, excellent narration there. High re-listen value, but I haven't re-listened to them because the series is so memorable. I read it for the first time in 2018, and I've never read it again because I've never felt like I needed to. The stories are still so fresh in my mind. Mm-hmm. But great books, great character voices from him. I could probably just like go through my list, but the Witcher audiobooks, Peter Kenny, those are also a fantastic audiobook experience. I'd say they're like my top five audiobooks.
Wow.
My one complaint being that sometimes the volume level fluctuates a little bit, which can be hard when you're listening to an audiobook. Yeah. But that's more of a production problem, not like, mm-hmm. you know, an actual narrator issue. And Peter Kenny is a lovely man as well. Like, he like followed me back on Twitter and like sent me a DM, like, thank you for saying such kind things about my work. Yeah. So he's wonderful. Peter Kenny narrates the Witcher books from the beginning all the way to the end. Yes.
That's awesome. So, you said earlier that you like, I like fantasy, like give me the swords, the magic, you know, things like that. So with these favorite or these narrators that you really love, if they do a book that doesn't fit in that category, you're like, I'll give it a go because I love the narrator so much, or does the genre of the book take precedence over the person narrating it?
It's a mix. I do search by narrator sometimes. And so I'll come across some things like, this could be interesting. At least the narrator will be good. Most of the time I've still been able to find things in my wheelhouse. And so okay. I haven't quite pulled the trigger on it, but, it's something I would do. Like Michael Kramer does, he narrates, he done tons of stuff. He narrates like self-help books. I don't know that I would listen to those.
True. This is true. I mean, yeah, Michael and Kate, they record full time for a living, and they do anything and everything, it feels like, sometimes, bless them. So I don't think I could, even with as good a voice as Michael has, I don't think I could listen to a self-help book about something I wasn't interested in, even if it was him narrating it. So probably a fair point. Well, I feel like we know you better now, which is nice, because I know you listen to all of the books and I've never actually asked you these questions. So,
hey, that's what we're here to
do. I'm glad I asked. Before we hop on to what has the fandom been up to, I'm going to, you mentioned earlier, like, give me Kaladin, give me the trauma, things like that. You dabble in writing, am I right there? Is you have a writing group?
I don't have a writing group or anything. I'm not responsible enough for that. You need to like have accountability and stuff when you're in a writing group. And I'm just like, no, I go where like the inspiration takes me. I got into writing from doing like fan fiction, sort of right. like comes up with like, you know, here's a story I would like to see, but no one has written it. Well, I guess I'll have to do it myself, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because in your Discord server, there's channels and people comment about like writing websites and, you know, alternate stories and things like fan fiction and stuff. So
yeah.
How did you get into doing all that? Just because you missed the characters?
Well, I found fan fiction by accident, like as a middle schooler. Because there was an anime show that a lot of my friends were watching, but that I had never, like, I didn't know anything about anything, right? I was like 12. Right. And just like through like Google searching, I like found fanfic, and I didn't know what it was at first. I'm like, what? I mean, is this someone who like transcribed an episode of the show? and I wrote it and I read it and I'm like, well, this was really interesting. This was really cool. And I'm like, oh, this thing. This is fanfic. They're taking the press to like the show itself and they're writing something else. And that was very interesting to me and sort of like fell down that rabbit hole back in the days of like the fanfiction.net was like your big hub. This was an interesting bit of like fanfic lore, is that for the longest time, essentially people would have websites or web archives for a specific ship. And so like, oh, if you were into this, you would go to that website where people who wrote for this ship would archive their stuff, and post them there. And then like, you could go to a different website for like different ships. It was very decentralized.
Okay.
Which in a way was really good because a lot of these other hosting services, people like LiveJournal and, you know, fanfiction.net itself, some of the others, there's a website called mediaminer.org for a long time, and more recently than that, Tumblr, have gone through ownership changes, and then they're what we call purges. And right. because a lot of fanfiction is transgressive fiction, not just transformative fiction, where you've got, you know, queer content, dark content, whatever it might be, the new owners would be like, we don't like any of this, we're just going to delete it all. And so just, you know, thousands of stories have just been like lost to the purges. But these decentralized, you know, ship websites, which were, you know, owned and operated independently, you know, those right. are still around. And so, you know, we're lucky to have the archive of our own, which is, you know, owned by the Organization for Transformative Works these days, which is intended to be a you know, a not-for-profit archive so that doesn't happen anymore. We don't lose fan works. They are importing from these websites, like, so that they can be archived. It's pretty cool.
That's brilliant.
So back in those days when I would go to my ship websites and I would, you know, I'd read my Inuyasha fan fiction, and then I like left and I wrote so much bad fanfic, back in those days. And then I just kind of like forgot about it for the longest time. And then in 2012, when, the first Avengers movie came out, I was like, I love this. I want more. Oh, right. Fanfic exists. And I've never left my little, like, you know, swamp of wonderful like, fandom since.
Because I'm in your Discord server and I'm I don't lurk, but you know, I'm definitely not as active as some people in there. And there are a few channels where I'm like, I'm just not following anything that's happening in here because it's they're talking about websites I've not heard of, like, you know, fan fiction stuff. And I was like, I'll just mute that. I got nothing to add here. But I often see people talking about stories and writing and websites and, you know, just sharing like, what is this? What is that? And it's, you know, I was like, I need to ask Kayla about this. So thank you for telling us about your fanfic journey. I never thought about Marvel fanfic for some reason.
It's huge.
But I was about to say, I imagine that exploded when the MCU exploded.
It did. It was like it has had a very dedicated following throughout the decades of the comics. Mm-hmm. But something I actually was hopeful for, still am hopeful for, I should say, is that with the TV show coming out, that would be the gateway to more people like coming into the Wheel of Time fandom and generating more fanfic. Because we are rather small as a fanfic community. And while it also brings with it its share of like problems, you know, like new kids on the block, like, you know, like, look at this new place. Who are you weirdos? Been reading these books for 30 years. This is our fandom now. That kind of thing. But at the same time, like, I want more of my people who write fanfic that I like from other fandoms to discover the Wheel of Time and also like it and then write for that fandom. That's my hope. I'm like just trying to bribe them. Like, come this way. There's some really good ships. I mean, look at all of the tropes we have that I know you like. Come on.
There we go. Yeah. I mean, it's got plenty to work with. There's a huge amount of material.
It's so good.
Yeah. There's encyclopedias. There's all sorts. You can just run with everything. So.
Exactly. Well, pre-made fandom. For you.
Yeah, exactly. Pre-made fandom. You know, fandom that loves talking weird ideas, wacky stories, crazy theories. What if this person was with that person? All sorts of things. So it's ideal for them. You should definitely come and join us. Awesome. Well, we definitely know you a lot better now. I know you a lot better as well, which I like. But let's talk the fandom. We've just talked a little bit about bringing new people to fandom. Let's talk about the current fandom. It's a nice segue, that, isn't it? I guess you set that up for me. I appreciate that. But is there anything going on recently? I mean, I've seen a couple of things. But is there anything funny or you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is going on in the fandom that you've seen? I know you don't sit there and troll the Twitters, but I'm sure you see things from time to time.
I do. I'm a lot less active than I used to be. I've been sort of a little bit on the back burner as far as Twitter goes over the last year. I feel like I have unintentionally instigated things like twice now in fandom history, that have escalated beyond me. The first of which was, the nipple thing. I was the progenitor of Trolloc nipples.
I was not aware of this.
I was the OG. This was around the same. I had sort of set myself up as like the resident, you know, I'm like the resident fanfic person in the fandom. Also happened to be like the resident, like, you know, pro monster fucker person in the fandom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so been waiting for, you know, like the Trollocs and the Murdral and all of that. Right. We need to see it. And so we got this picture that was posted of Moraine, like with that Trolloc that she's like holding by the horn. Mm-hmm. And so I like, you know, take the screenshot of it and I post like, you know, if you were wondering if Trollocs have nipples, the answer is yes. and that was in October of 21.
I do remember that now, actually. Yeah.
So that was quite some time ago. And then, you know, fast forward to next like summer sometime when Kevin joins the fandom, and it became like a trope for him. It's like the thing, just like nipples everywhere. And I was like, huh, well, you know, I mean, what starts must continue, I suppose. But more recently,
this is very true.
I replied to a post from Jess from the Ammerlin study, and she had quoted, you know, she said the golden crane flies for Tarmen Gaiden, and like it's a call and response. You're supposed to say the same thing back. And yes. So I respond, the golden crane flies for Tarmon Gaiden. And as I'm fixing Gaiden, because it didn't have the apostrophe on my phone, I read it back and I realized that it had said tampon instead of Tarmon. And I was like within a half second from like pressing send, I was like, oh, I should probably fix that. But also that's fucking hilarious. And so I respond, I was like, oh, also this auto-corrected to tampon, and I almost sent it. And it was like,
I did see that. Oh my God. I don't know why I didn't reply to that.
It was very shortly after that I was quote tweeted by Kev, and I was like subtweeted by S and, or not Kev, Kevin, and subtweeted by S. And then I started seeing other tweets be like, you know, why are we talking about tampon guide? And like the fandom is, it's been too long, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, once again, I have started something that others have finished.
Oh, and you're aware that that made it to Sarah, right?
Oh, it did? No.
Yes, it did.
What happened?
Right. So I feel like I need to go and find the tweet now because this is just crazy. So I'll just search Sarah's page. So in essence, there was a post along those sorts of way. Here we go. Let me just scroll for her page quickly. So sorry, folks.
That's fine.
This is just, it's brilliant. This is, so someone obviously had seen, you know, the discussions of Kev's and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's from his original post, Trollic Tampon TD Tassel Thursday, which was just, that's a whole lot. And then
I did see that picture, unfortunately.
Yeah. Let me scroll down because this is in the replies somewhere, I'm sure. Oh God, there's a lot on here. No, I guess I lost it, so I'll just go to. Oh no, maybe that's a different one. Yeah, that's
as you're one, as you're looking, it's totally fine. And you know, I don't begrudge anybody this at all. By the way, like, please do continue to do ridiculous things on Twitter. I love all of it. I don't claim ownership over any of the weirdness that. That I instigate intentionally or otherwise. Like, I mean, this is transformation in its element, right? This is transformative work. Just because I had the idea does not mean that I own it.
At least,
you know, in this context, their copyright's a totally different issue, different conversation. But you know, transforming something and making it one's own is really the heart of what I love about fandom. So please,
continue. Brandon Chien is listening live to us along with Nils. Hello to my lovely patrons. And she's DM'd it to me, so I see how I've missed it. It was on that post. And then someone called Jack Grumpy Old Man has replied to Kevin's post, tag Sarah, said, can you reach out to Wraith & Co.? We need to see a Trolloc dancing with tassels. Not these tassels, but yeah, needs to happen. And Sarah replied to him and said, can confirm, has been shared in the group chat, reactions are varying, winky face. And it was just, people then started to reply to that, like Kev's like, I'm so sorry, and also, you are welcome, ? Amis is there, like, this is what happens when the wise ones are busy with other obligations. It's time to take away their rainbow glitter robes. And then it sort of carries on in much, you know, sturdy Kevin style, and other people get in there, and it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
I do find that interesting. There's a level of involvement with the creators in our fandom that I don't know if the Wheel of Time fandom appreciates how atypical that is, mm-hmm. and also how slippery of a slope it is.
Right.
Because in a way, one might consider what Jack did to be called snitch tagging. If you're not familiar with that, is when someone like talks about something else or is talking about a particular thing, perhaps even critically, one might say, and then you tag the person they're talking about. So it's sort of like, maybe you decide you're going to talk shit about the newest, let's see, who's someone who's active on Twitter. Maybe you're going to talk shit about something that like Jensen Ackles is in, right? So you're going to say, gosh, you know, I really hated him in The Boys. You know, this is just such a departure from what we knew and loved about him in Supernatural, et cetera, et cetera. And then someone comes in and they tag at Jensen Ackles. So, hey, what do you think about this? And it's like, really, dude? Like, come on. Like, don't snitch tag. That's not a thing. I don't think that's what happened here. But, you know, it's sort of like we have access to Rafe and Sarah and the Twitter of Chaos and other people. And they're very interactive with us. They're very graciously interactive with our fandom. But I do feel like some of us need to exercise more caution and consideration in what conversations, in which ways we get them involved. You know, obviously all in good humor and good fun with the, the tampon nip, titty tassel things.
It's a tongue twister, isn't it? That needs to be, I'm sorry, like a WattCon. You need to have like a late night panel where you just invent bizarre tongue twisters and have competitions of people drinking and doing tongue twisters and then a champion at the end of it. That sounds like a WattCon After Dark panel right there.
There we go. WattCon After Dark. The tongue twisters. Oh, man. Oh, especially with all the alcohol involved. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
Talking about Sean Chan's holders. Yeah, that's just an unintentional aside of, I think we've seen it a lot over, like, since the show came out, of how people sort of abuse their access to those people. And the last thing that I would want is for any of the creators of these things who are interactive with us to feel like they need to remove themselves entirely from the space because it becomes toxic or is no longer, like, safe for them to get involved.
Right.
In the fanfic world, we would consider a line like that being like, hey, if we're in like the Hannibal fandom and somebody is making like, you know, not safe for work art of like Hannibal and Will, maybe don't tag Hugh Dancy. Like yeah, let's not do that. Like, you know, they don't need to see it. They don't need to know about it. It's fine.
That's a fair point.
Boundaries, yeah, people, boundaries.
I agree with that. I think this was definitely done in good humor. But I'm looking through some of the quote tweets. Several of the quote tweets are from Kevin himself, which is just brilliant. And some people are like, oh, my creator. Who is this? Is this who we are? Is this what we represent? Someone's like, yeah, there we go. Made in Chair is like, oh, good God, what have we done? But I love how many times people are shocked or hilarious or like having funny reactions to it. Out of all of that, you'd think there'd be a huge amount of people being like, oh, well, you know, it's because of this. And they would like be negative. There's only one negative one in there. And I don't even think it's that negative, really. But it's like it's close as we get to it. And they're like, they're blaming Prime. It's Prime's fault.
Okay, gotcha.
If we had a trailer and news about season two, we
wouldn't have been this embarrassing.
I know.
It doesn't matter how unfucking related it is, there's going to be some reply guy like, hey, how about that? Season two. You're like, guys, just shut the fuck up. We're going to get the season two news when we get it. Like, come on.
Again, I don't think this one's done in bad humor or bad, like, being negative, like, trying to be negative.
But I was like, everyone, get off my laptop.
Someone had to say it. It's brilliant. But again, Kev replies and goes, I agree, no blame on me. Then they reply back and be like, I'd even argue you're a victim of the logging, poor Kevin. It really works. It's so good. But yeah, that was absolutely hilarious. I'm glad that you brought up the tampon guiding thing at one point, because it's it's just a brilliant thing that I've seen happen. So you're muted, by the way.
That was my cat. By the way, he jumped. Rob, you saw this because you can see me on camera. My cat, I set my laptop down so that I could pack my hookah. And he's like, oh, look, flat surface. This is for me. And so I conveniently had my mouse hovering over the mute button. And so he mutes me, turns on my caps lock, pushes a bunch of keys. And then I yeet him, obviously. But yes.
Cat bombing, as they're saying in chat, cat bombing is quite relatable. Copper likes to cat bomb, as does Marmot for Bane and Shead and for Wise One Jelly. So we are familiar with the cat bombing. It's quite okay.
Love that. But yeah, just to reiterate, I'm not accusing anyone of actually snitch tagging, just like thinking in terms of like how in any other fandom, like you wouldn't be able to, not in any other one, but in very few other fandom spaces, would you be able to, like, you know, tag somebody who works directly with the show and the actors in something like this and like have them be there and play along with us.
This is true. It's so amazing.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So I'm glad those moments have come up. Have you seen anything else aside from that, or is that just like totally taken anything?
I mean, because I was directly involved in that, you know, I was aware of it. I'm a little bit unplugged these days. What are you thinking of?
So there's a couple of things. Obviously, the innkeeper has decided to start doing his countdown posts again.
All right.
And the reason I bring that up is because the big thing is obviously what idol has been announced. Mm-hmm. I do love, I just want to, before I go into what idol, he's put 46 days to what idol, 55 days to JordanCon, 139 days to WhatCon. Someone replied to this and said, 196 days to MalkyrieCon, which I appreciated. And then just very, very small at the bottom, it says, and 157 days until August. just made me laugh. But what idol? You love to sing, Kayla.
You, I do.
A previous winner of the karaoke contest at JordanCon with Jess.
Yep. Reigning champion 3 years in a row.
There we go. Reigning champion 3 years in a row.
Because they didn't have the contest.
Shh, we don't need to tell people that bit. That's okay. Now, to my understanding, you've not entered the previous 2 years.
No. I had a good reason for the first year of not entering. And then I was just like, I was tired and lazy last year. But the intention, I have the intention to enter this year. I did, like, I've been working on a thing, have like the stuff written up, just a matter of like, you know, oh gosh, how do I actually record this and make it look cool? Because I bet the competition this year is going to be stiff.
Well, they had like 60 entries last year, something of that sort of nature, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
And I can only imagine how many more people are going to be joining this year as a result of the fandom growing and but just people seeing what last year was like and then being like, well,
it up, yeah. Well, I mean, we had that whole, like, Minecraft animation for, like, Welcome to Demise Wells, and it was like,
yes,
bro, you know? We got people out here making whole-ass music videos. I mean, even the first year where the Talk Aran Riyadh folks, like, they did a frame-for-frame recreation of a Pearl Jam video when they did their song Marilyn, and I feel like that was an underappreciated entry. For that,
the guy, I can't remember the name of the song, but the first year he did the video where the guy, like, it's just a scene of like a window or a room or something like that, and the guy just pops up, says the line,
oh,
pops
right, and then he did Hello Mudda, Hello Fada this past year. I can't remember his name.
Did, yes, but that if you've ever seen the video to that song, that again, much like Talk Aran Riyadh, is a you know, almost a scene for scene reenactment of the original music video. And it's like people are parodying the videos of the songs they're doing parodies of at the same time. It's brilliant. I love it. I'm excited for this year. I can only imagine how many songs are going to be. I reckon they're going to get like 80 or 90 entries this year. I don't know.
I would say at least that many. I mean, part of it is we've had people that have wanted to do it over the past year, someone like me, and just like either haven't had the time or like haven't thought about it. And I think the third time's the charm, like third time coming through, it's like, okay, the first year was new. The second year it was like, oh, right, this is a thing. And now this third time around, what
and
might
we got
be
a good notice
happening
this time? Like they've given us like basically 6 weeks notice.
Yeah.
And there's even a fancy website. So, yeah.
Yeah. This Inkeeper is like, no excuses this time.
Hey, this is very true. Definitely no excuses. I reckon there's going to be multiple shows. I've already liaised with them. Threefold Talk will be doing after. I said an after show, and then Lauren's like, we're expecting a lot of entries. We might end up with multiple shows. I was like, well, I guess we're doing multiple after shows then. So,
I would appreciate that as a moderator. Anything to say with you. You know, having like, you know, day one, day two, that sort of thing. Just because it does start to run a bit long. I feel like the people that are the entries that are there
as we're starting to get a little fatigued, aren't necessarily getting a fair shake.
Yeah, this is true. You could have like two or three like initial rounds, do a couple of shows a week or something, maybe, and get it done in 2 or 3 weeks still, so it doesn't drag on. Because obviously they'll want to get it done before JordanCon. The first show, if my math is correct, let me look at the dates in April. I think the first show is Wednesday 12th. So that's the day they're going for. It'll have to be multiple shows that week because JordanCon is the Friday afterwards on the 21st. So that's
right. I'm sure, like, you know,
it's going to be a busy week.
The innkeeper and the other innkeeper are all working on it.
I look forward to seeing what your entry is. I don't know. Are you there still? Okay, folks. Unfortunately, we've lost Kayla right at the end there. we've had laptop issues. That does happen occasionally, so I do apologize. But yeah, we were just obviously finishing off with the What Parody Song Contest. I hope you are going to enter if you're listening. I intend to enter. I have a couple of songs I'm choosing between. I think I need to write them first to see which one I'm going to make. But I hope Kayla also enters because she is a great singer. So it would be obviously awesome to see her creativity put on to a music video so we can all listen and cheer on yet another wonderful creative member of this community. So thank you so much for listening today, folks. I hope you've enjoyed getting to know Kayla. Master of Deck is a wonderful person, and I always enjoy doing the shipping shows that we do together, chatting with her. I remember the first time she came on the podcast, we talked about shipping. It was a lot of fun. So it's been good fun to get to know how she got into Wheel of Time, why she listens to all of her books, and just chat about those sorts of things. Thank you so much for listening, folks. I hope you've had a great time. I appreciate Kayla being here, even though she's fighting through tech issues, which is awesome. A lot of fun for everyone. I've been there myself. It does suck. Please make sure to like the podcast, throw down a comment, or, you know, all those sorts of things, because I'd like to know if you're enjoying it. Please go out and create your parodies. Enter the contest, like I said. And until next time, folks, may you always find love, water, and shade. Thank you so much for listening to Malkia's Wrap-Up. If you'd like to support me, please head over to Patreon, where you can sign up and listen to the podcast as I record each week at any level. And thank you so much. Please follow the account on Twitter, join me on YouTube once in a while, and leave a comment and tell me what you liked and what I missed, because I'm sure there was plenty. But until next time, folks, please find love, water, and shade.